Halleluja. Säkja tuolla, että skramota tie. He naturat liskriätiä. Abikinda skrubabra te salo. Salo come te rekisis. Tiene so baba. Ina soci, ladumi. For people develop ideas, especially through generations and centuries, that things evolve to be done one way, or they evolve to be done another. But what I have for you is life. What I have for you is everything that was put under your feet. That the resurrection, when Jesus became the firstborn of many brethren, I put the enemy under your feet, and I gave you all authority. Nothing shall be impossible to you. For when your eyes get to see down my road, then faith's not a problem. Because I have a commission. And this great commission is to go into all the world. And in these days, with the aid of media, there's a place in the Spirit that I have prepared for all of this. And for you that are willing, I'll bring you there. And you'll see. You'll see. That my power, my testimony, and everything I am can be made available to the whole world, to those who will listen. So be strong and have great courage, for you're coming into a great time for the kingdom of God. Whew. Hallelujah. Betulate. Gindo. Gendora. Disketo. Hripas. Dishofopoma. Dene haskido haski. For many believed through the signs and wonders that was wrought in the days that I sent the apostles out. And why would you think things would be different now? For those who can rise to the occasion and operate in the fullness of my Spirit, for signs and wonders wasn't meant to be locked up behind four walls. Signs and wonders were meant to be back and put on public display, that they may see and know that I live. This is the kind of revival you'll see in the last day. And my plan, which is being prayed out by you in the Spirit, is for exactly these kind of things to happen. For you'll see, part of Tulsa's revival was I heard about another miracle over here. Yeah, well, I heard about one over there. Yeah, this happened downtown and about 600 cars saw it. Yeah. Anyway, he just told me just to blurt that part out. That wasn't a word for word thing. Heskuramatu chukurashulod. Bieno uskiri atata. Biskirondo. Giskirondo. Furia kuali ciencia. For the devil's built a case up against me. This case he's built up has to do with seeing, hearing, and feeling. For the generation gives itself over to this in the wrong way. But because we have to see, hear, or feel, It's hard for us to move forward. But I'd say this to you. The signs and wonders that I wrought, the mind will say, this is impossible. What do you think will cause the salvations of the sinners to rise to all-time highs? It'll be because of the things they cannot understand to people whom they know. Iboskaracha. For those who could never walk, and those who were born blind, and for those who had diseases that caused them not to be even aware. Oh, I desire these things. You see, you can do all that you can do in your advertising campaigns, and I can come on the scene and a whole town will show up within 3 or 4 days. So be strong and continue in the right direction. Did I not say these signs will follow them that believe? They'll lay hands on the sick. The sick will recover, speak with new tongues, and cast devils out. Hello, that describes the prayer center, doesn't it? Hallelujah. Yes. Yes. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let me say, there's a book I never preach out of. And it's Romans 8. If you went over there, we might get there. Well, we could read a verse. I'll just skip way down and read the last one or something, you know. How about Romans 8, 36 to the end. As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Good verse. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, not height, not depth, nor any other creature. That about covers it. Shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. When you got an old veteran like Paul, who's seen it and been through it, and said that he can't, nothing can separate you from the love of God that's in Christ. I mean, he's been through it all. All. And that's his conclusion. It isn't just Paul and how tough he was. This caused me to start looking at these other guys and see what their conclusions were. Especially those that went through things. What they learned, what they wrote about. What was their emphasis? Most of the time it ended up the devil would fail because he had a hard time separating them from actually the capacity that you have in your born again spirit to operate in the love of God. See, this is where he ran into his problems. The further they would get into his love, the more problems that he had with any kind of control or instigating any kind of program. In fact, he finally figured it out that about the best place to overcome this would be in getting in and running with them somewhat and deceiving them into believing that eventually would eradicate the Holy Spirit. And even then again, the born-again experience, which is what religion... He got in very slowly. You know, he's living centuries. So overall, frontal attacks don't work all the time. So his most powerful weapon then became deception. The further I'm getting into this, the more I'm finding out too that the greatest weaponry that we have is something he tries to falsify. But in its ingredient, it does not fail. It does not fail. And it has no fear. So when the devil would come in with religion, he would step by step deceive and then take a step back. It'd be hard to teach the fullness of a God's love without accusing God of being awful harsh on some subjects. Or, since he died once for our sins, shouldn't that cover anything we'd ever do or ever did? Well, sure it would. But it wouldn't if you were moving forward and living for the sin. Amen. You're going to leave something behind. But oh no, God's all inclusive. It's the only way he can combat the fullness of God's love, because he sure wouldn't want you to get into the kind that demonstrates who he is. That kind has power. It's as powerful to convince by signs, by wonders, by anything that you want to meditate on. The love of God and the power that's in it is as strong as anything he has. And the signs and wonders and growing and not going back areas as anything. The only way the devil can combat that is paint another picture of God and then deceive teachers to teach you that, oh, don't you get it? One man died for our sins. Did we ask to be born? No. No. One man died for our sins. That was Jesus. One man caused our sin, that was Adam. So we didn't ask to receive the sin. We didn't ask to be born. So we're just automatically saved by the birth of the second Adam and resurrected. You don't have to get born again and all that stuff. This people wrote that. People wrote it. So he comes in on that line of deception. Now let me see. How many men that really walked in power did I get a chance to meet? Even a few of them to talk to. I've been in A.A. Allen's camp meeting. I got to intercept him once between the tent and the trailer. Just say a few words to him. It wasn't much. It was nothing for him to hold a cloth over somebody's blind baby. This girl was probably six. He held it over and he kept building the crowd up. He said, you think she'll be able to see when I take this handkerchief off her eyes? And he really worked the crowd. That was okay. Because he says, now when I take this off, you take your finger. And he says, and I want you just to touch me on the nose. I don't know, she probably had went blind. If she didn't, she might not know what it is. Anyway, feel around. This is the nose. He took it off. You should have seen her. You want to talk about an act of God's love? Somebody let him in. Come on. Somebody let him in. He found something he needed. Isn't it something? That all God needs is something, and He could heal 50 blind people up prior. All He would need is something to do it with. And they go get in church and they get in the lines. What something are we talking? They're God's lines. We're laying hands on them and praying just like He said to do. So instead of us finding out what that place is made out of, we create doctrines to cover it. It really wasn't His will, you know. It's not His will to heal everybody. He uses tribulations and testings and trials to train you and stuff. So, well, it's either else that. You know, He didn't, for God's sake, it couldn't be me. So what do we do? Create another avenue of believing. Well, I knew there was a mystery to it. And just the amount He used me, which wasn't really a lot when I first came to Tulsa, drew crowds. It was just Him doing normal kind, not real impossible things. At times a person would jump up out of a wheelchair or something and run off and be talked about for months. Then when the wheelchairs come and line up, most of them are wheeled back out. You know. Well, there was a revival right after Jesus went home. Holy Spirit outpoured. The apostles had it. They brought the sick in from all the roundabout regions. And they were all healed in that revival. Was Jesus there? No. Not in person. But was He there? Yeah. But all of them were healed. Now, let's just suppose, you know, when people come here, we go, well, they're accountable. The new one comes. They're accountable too, probably. They live in Tulsa. Tulsa, we have a great, great claim. No, I'm not. I don't have the gift of working in miracles. I'm a teacher. Are you a believer? Well, yeah. I teach on it. Come on. I mean, could those people be so much different than you that poured in? Let's just say all the counties round about Tulsa just come pouring in because they heard the whole massive crowd and everybody got healed. And so all of these poor, do you think they'd have different diseases and different problems than you have? You think some of them would hate their brother? You think some of them were really mean to their family when they raised them up because they couldn't walk? And do you think there would have been every kind of attitude that you would see today, but yet for some reason they all got healed? Oh, well, God had to do that. He's a respecter of persons. He had to bring. You know, He had to bring that to the church to show it that God was there and stuff. But after that, He don't have to do that anymore. Why? Gee, He died in vain, huh? What's really being held up here? The more successful the devil is with our outcome, more people will be in hell. The more people will be in hell. I can't say that we haven't did a pretty good job around, I mean, all in all us preachers and stuff, of talking groups of people into salvation. We done pretty good on that with them. What was the demonstration in the service? They raised their hand or they walked forward. That's a lot of power. Well, it's been a while since I scared the devil. The last time was when he tried to sing me to death. It was actually a second fast. The first one I had done at home. And some... I didn't know the score at the time, but angels came and sang to me. Makes you feel real special until you found out what kind they were. They were singing carols. And I was up trying to pray, and they just sang and sang. And I thought, well, we had some work done in the garage, and I went out and looked in the attic to see if somebody left a radio on. I went and walked all over the house listening to see if it was louder in some other places. And then I walked 20 feet from the house and could still hear it. So I went upstairs and laid down and started praying again. And I was praying, and it was singing, you know. There is power. They're singing gospel songs. But they'd get on one and just wear it out. I finally crept down the stairs, and Rosalie was in the computer room, and she's in there computing away. And I went in and sat down on the bed, and I was quiet for a minute. And she goes, yeah. I said, can you hear that music? She said, what music? I said, can't you hear it? It's a gospel song. She says, no, I don't hear it. What are they singing? So I listened for a minute. I said, they're on the part, can't you hear the thunder roll? And she says, I know, I can't hear nothing. And then she goes, and if I was you, I wouldn't tell anybody. Did you? Yeah, I told. I know what I was hearing. Well, they finally quit. Well, they pretty much wore me out, but they didn't go through anything else. They didn't speak. They didn't do nothing else. I started breaking the fast. They stopped. The sepulpa then. A year or two later. I don't know. Yearly thing for a period of time. So I go down there. And, you know, it's no fun to just quit eating. Then you lock yourself in with yourself. It's horrible. About 3 or 4 days, you know you're real good. Can't get away. So I just stuck it out. And on the fourth night, all of a sudden, I'm laying there and it started in again. So after a while, I just requested, can I request a song? After a while, it was a few days. Can I request a song? And they said, well, they didn't say nothing, but I did. So I said, could you play this all together at the river? Oh, it was such a blessed break for 10 seconds. But then they did it. And I know you've heard this part before, but we're going somewhere. All of a sudden, let's all gather at the river, the beautiful, beautiful river. And of course, that flows by the throne of God. I'm going, okay, you take requests, do you? Do you know Ring of Fire by Johnny Cash? How many heard about that little kid that went to the hospital? And the angels would come and they'd sing to him all the time music. And he told his parents and stuff. Then he asked them to sing something else and they said they couldn't. That was a worldly song. Well, that happened way after my Johnny Cash thing. So I couldn't use that as a judge. I wish I could have. Anyway, I thought, you take request, huh? Well, I want you to sing Ring of Fire, Johnny Cash. And that's the first 10-minute break I got. Only way I could figure, they couldn't find an angel that could sing low enough, you know. But I got a 10-minute break, and they found him. And I was just thinking, I won. And suddenly, the taste of love is sweet when two hearts like ours meet. I fell into a burning ring of fire. Down, 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 the flames burned higher. It burned, burned, burned. This ring of fire, a ring of fire. The taste of love is sweet when I finish my defeat. I said, okay, I get it. I get it. Game's over. Get out. Even though I was really tempted to let him finish the song. I fought temptation on a severe level. I said, that's it. Get out. Get out. In Jesus' name. But the point was, I could hear them, see. Rosalie couldn't. However they communicate, they were speaking my language, English. I could hear them talking. And basically, in Brazil, when they moved in this time to destroy, a month and a half, they came into my room 10 stories up while I was asleep. They all gathered into the room. I never did count them one by one. I give them a name. Get out. Anyway, they came into the room, and I'm wondering why. What's the deal? Because when I opened my eyes, one was sitting in the chair I put my clothes on. They were all hardly taller than I am, except the woman. She's a stocky woman, had black hair this short, grayish black eyes that could stare a hole through you. So these devils line up on this side of the door. And then on the other side, then she comes in with a smoking flax. So they guard her as she goes down the wall towards me, doing smoke up the wall like this, and then puffing it over towards me. Then going back, and she's just starting to head over to the other side, and that's when I stood up. Now that devil sitting in the chair, I moved my hand from here to here because I had just opened my eyes and my shoulder had me propped a little on the pillow. So I opened, I thought, what? What in the world? Who's this? And just out of not even knowing it, I moved my hand. And he said, look, he put his hand over his heart. You think he knows that you're going to shoot him with a poison dart? A little bit later, they said I was 2 years overdue. Difference between a vision and what happened there. A vision is what I had when I seen the big one with the armor on stand over by the door. And then little devils over the crowd chanting, something's wrong here, something's wrong here, something's wrong here. When people left, that's what they were saying later. It was just a glimpse. I couldn't interact with him. I couldn't talk to him or nothing. It wasn't. I don't even know if it was him there or him just showing me. I couldn't step into it and say, hey, can I talk to you? There's a difference. See? And when she started fanning that smoke towards me, I really didn't have any fear. And I know I didn't because of what I said. She's fanning it towards me, and I said, "It's not very nice." Why, I don't know. It's just me. I said, "It's not very nice." And her eyes get blackish. Anger. That's when I jumped up and I headed across the room. And they kind of poured around her and she disappeared first. Some of them I could see go through the wall like it wasn't there. They were just getting away. And some vanished before the wall. So I knew the wall didn't make much difference. So when I got into a get out. And then they went on to chant, and I'll have to admit, like I told you before, that I wanted to study them a little because I had no fear. I wanted to know how they worked. So I let them chant for a while. "I'm going to kill you." In the same voice those other ones were using in Sepulpa. I could hear them talk. I could, "I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you." Well, I couldn't see them now. But I could hear them. The difference between that and the vision is I could interact. They were standing there. I was standing there. That's how it was. After a while, you know, I told him, "It's over now. Get out." I said, "Get out." In Jesus' name, and the chanting went. They tried one more time to get me out. A woman comes screaming in the room. I was just about to get back to sleep again. She looked kind of like the other woman, but wasn't. She's screaming, "There's fire! Fire! The hotel's on fire!" I go, "Oh, God." Door locked, everything locked. But this time, I said, "Okay." I went down to the desk and I said, "Is there any reports of fire in the air?" And they said, "No." I thought, "Oh, how stupid can I get?" Well, I went up, then I heard singing. Chanting, "Pastor Dave Roberson." Yeah, right. "Would you please help us? Pastor Dave Roberson." And I looked where it was coming from, and I went over to the window and looked down, and 10 stories down, there's about 8 or 9 of those standing in front of a dumpster thing, chanting that. I don't know why they were trying to get me out of the building. I don't think it was very good. That wasn't hard to discern. Those wasn't people, and they didn't want me. This is what I found out. Told you somewhat about it last time, and quite a bit of it's manifested this time. Paul's conclusion there at the end of just Romans 8 there, that nothing can separate him from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. What they were ghostly afraid of, and what they were willing to go to any lengths to try to keep from happening, is for me not only to discover that next realm of His love, but to actually lead people in it. Because even the mystery of power is in there. Much as He loves you, if He finds something He can get a hold of to do something for you with it, He's going to do it. See? Well, I had the privilege of running into a few men like A. Allen, and just a couple of words I'd get to speak to me. That was heaven. I saw ultra holiness and there's a call on me. And a passing comment with Leroy Jenkins. And different ones at times. I'd get to go to their meetings and watch them move. And I thank God for Robert Slaridan, because of his own problems. He wrote about their problems. If these guys who shook the world like that end up with messed up lives, then that means he had a chance. See? And he does. He did. And he will. God can deliver you, forgive you from anything. Some of you worry about the unpardonable. Most of you you don't even know how to commit it. You couldn't accomplish it if you wanted to, hardly. But if you had this high priest that sounded like a thunderstorm coming on you, a newborn Christian yesterday, if his thundering worked, you'd count the blood of Christ an unholy thing and denounce him. Sell your birthright. Like Esau. Denounce him. Some of you getting a little bit of a tassel and a wassail. And I don't know if this is real. You're not committing an unpardonable. You just need more teaching. You need to have somebody help you get more solid. That's all. But when I saw what some of these men of God did at the ends of their life, see, I'm not looking to stay the same. If I could be called to be content to us nurture each other through and we make it to heaven, if I could be satisfied with that while the city around me went to hell, then I'd be okay, wouldn't I? But that's not in me. I can't stay there, see. So I watched these men, Alexander Dowie, bring Chicago to her knees. What was he lacking? What did he lack that would cause him to have a platform built and then a throne chair put on the platform and dress array himself in long religious gowns with the tall hat and the cross and then declare him Elijah to come? I am Elijah to come. I'm going to buy the land up around Israel. Me and Jesus are going to reign in the millennial. Oh, get off your throne. Why? It was used so powerfully. A.E. Allen picked up for a DUI. Died in a hotel room in San Francisco in front of a TV. He had arthritis pain so bad he'd have to take medicine for it. Some people think that he drank because drugs will impair you the next day trying to teach. Alcohol, once your headache stage, you're about over it. How do you know? Somebody told me. So some say that that's all he was doing, to control the arthritis pain so he could sleep. And I hope that's right. He'd hold his hand over somebody's eyes and pull it off and they'd be healed. And he walked away with arthritis in his knees so bad he couldn't stand up. The list goes on. Same problem. missionary friend of mine in Israel. I got to stay at her house in Jerusalem. She had a prophet's chamber. I didn't get to stay in that because there was already a prophet in there. And then another prophet came. She said, one got here yesterday. You can bunk with him. You know, you don't understand. I'm Elijah. And I said, she said, so is he. Go ahead and bunk with him. What's the matter with people? See, so that made me really get in there and look at Paul, and especially those that sprang up after and fought their way up, and visitations. And their closures was like Paul. Nothing can separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. See? Well, all those devils was parked at this door. And part of it manifested this time in Brazil. I was in the same room, walked the same corridors. Not even a whisper from a devil. Nothing. I'm glad. Leave me alone. But the door they were blocking or standing in front of was the one that he doesn't want any preachers to make it through. And I got some offerings. I had to call one place and turn the meetings down. And two or three times when they called back, there was 600,000 or 700,000 in those meetings. And when he pulled me back, I had to say, I'm sorry. I can't come. I couldn't go to the other ones at that time either. Why? Because I had to come off the road. I had to get on busy. I had to spend the time in fastings and praying to uncover this door so I can finish my race. He's give us a revival in Tulsa.
It doesn't look like it.
Keep looking. I had to come back to learn this. What? What was behind that door? About 20 devils showed. What? 7 billion people in the world and I get a room full of devils? What is he afraid of? That we would get through that door, on that path to a fullness of the love of God that not only sustains the miracles we're looking for, but sustains you, and not only you, it sustains you against the world, the sin, the ugliness that it tries to bring on us. So when I followed these apostles through and read their lives, studied men of God, I'm going to go back and look at some more of them. When they were drugged down and taken out, and especially with a bad testimony, I needed to know why and how. Because this one ingredient, this one, when Paul wrote about it in Corinthians, it's like Romans. He says, don't you understand? I'm satisfied. I can't be separated. Death, life, bring it on. You can't separate me from the love of God. He talked about those guys with all the giftings. Though I speak with tongues of men and angels, you don't do it much if you go crazy. He said, I don't have this article. Though I speak with tongues, men and angels, and have not. You sound like a sound, tinkling brass, a sounding, tinkling cymbal, something like that. Though I had all faith where I could move a mountain, I could blind eyes. I don't have this. If I understood and could teach mysteries, I don't have this. And what is this that'll operate alongside the most powerful giftings in the world but still not have their life? I didn't know what I was missing. I thought more love meant you was able to endure more punishment and still love them. Oh, no, it's part of it. Won't you tie that in with no fear? Why don't you tie it in with never fails? Well, like Alan testified, the love of God got loose. Bunches of preachers healed. Lives changed. You could tell some of them were rededicating their lives. The call of evangelism of a pastor, of a preacher, it doesn't have to be one continual big problem people bringing to you that your burden got so heavy you fell beneath the load. The love of God is more than a feeling. It's an abiding depth of absolute assurance and security in the absence of fear. And no fear whatsoever of failure. This is what men dressed themselves in, and women, when they went into countries and places that most certainly they would be killed, not clothed in this. When they come to get Paul, the Abbey of Three Gates, and behead him. He was in his middle 60s or older. They took him out of a Rome sewer system where he was chained. Stick his feet through stocks and break all the bones in him. Took Jesus' lashes 5 times. 39 lashes. Stoned to death. Apostles got around him and prayed for him, and he came back. His comment, and all these things, I'm more than a conqueror. In fact, I take pleasure not in getting beat again. 3 ships going sinking out from under me, treading water day and night. Who's going to be happy the moment they're beating on you and this kind of thing? But what he did say, I can take pleasure in the presence of God no matter what kind of hell it generates around me. And they think they're coming to execute me. I'm the one over 60. I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I'm the one that's ready to be offered. Not before. Tough. Paul, this, he had to be tough. When he became one of them and was visited by the high priest and the high priest's servant, and the high priest judged him on something. Anyway, Paul answered, and the high priest's servants just slapped him in the face, just smote him. Pow! He says, thou judgest me according to the law and smite me contrary to it. He told him, he said, you witted wall. That must have been really bad. I think that was the last time he lost his temper. You know? W-H-I-T-E-D. What is that? Round it like a painted wall with all your ugly blemishes underneath the white paint. It's covered up and we can't see them, but they're there. You witted wall. It must have been really bad. And the servant says, you send that to the high priest? He said, well, I'm sorry. The law says it shouldn't so dishonor to the high priest and blah, blah, blah. I know he wanted to say at the end of all that, but you really need to get saved. I'm finding what I looked for all my life. I don't quite know how to cultivate it real big where it'll grow fast on purpose, but I do know what brought it and what's causing it to grow, and that's the edification from the mysteries that we're beginning to understand what is hidden in Christ from the foundations of the world now made available to us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I know you can't pray these mysteries without them being manifest to you. And if the mystery of love is in there, which it's got to be, because that's what God is, if He is love, and we're on a major path that's dominated by that, we're going to Him. What would love do to somebody that's blind and couldn't walk? So I know praying in tongues. Thank God He took the understanding of it away from us. It's something you really think you're cool over. Your car is real low to the ground and muffles when you're driving. If you found out you were praying about that car in tongues, you'd say, let's jump ahead of this prayer. Let's go on to the good stuff. Isn't it a good thing He doesn't let you in on it right then? Amen. But I don't want to stop doing that. Who asked you? If you didn't want what I want for you, you wouldn't be praying in tongues, then, would you? I mean, what kind of God do we serve? When we don't know what to pray for because we don't even know our future and we have about a half of the understanding of the word we should be understanding. So what do we know? We don't even know our own calls. So God says, we've got to find out a way to do their praying for them. So the Holy Spirit creates this language in your spirit. It transfers the authority to you, which means you're the one really doing the praying. It's just like me saying this, pray this and mean it. God, and then you'd repeat it. So He borrows our authority by creating it in our spirit. And the moment He creates it there, a transition is into the natural aspects, like I see through an eye, my eye translates to my spirit eye. I see everything. When this body falls off of me, I'll still see. Wouldn't it be something if God gave a miracle in reverse? Ronald Coyne, he's got a spiritual eye. And he's gone home now, so he's got two spiritual eyes. Anyway, he got it poked out. And Till Osborne's mother, one of those, prayed for him. And he opened his eyes. The problem is, he had this eye, it was good, and it opened this one, and he didn't have one. There was no eye in there. I taped his good eye up myself, but about 40 pounds of wrapping on his head. Make sure he could not see out of that eye. And I got my driver's license out and he could read my driver's license with no eye. I was down there like this looking up in his eye. And if I forgot he could look, he was watching me too. And I got, all he could see is the back of his eye. Nobody could prove it. No scientist, no doctor. Nobody knows what happened. I do. He did a miracle in his spiritual eye so it could see in this natural world without the aid of a natural eye. He's got an eye. Now, wouldn't it be something if it was your legs that got cut off? You better wear pants all the time. Long socks. I could just see you walking down the street and somebody going, oh my goodness, I forgot to put my long pants on. shoes ahead of you. Can't you just, then you can go. Well, the eye did enough. The eye did enough. But you don't have to have any fear. You're just a glove. You'll fall off. The eternal you sitting on the inside. You've already been changed. Your privilege is to stay here and overcome the flesh, whip the devil, and bring as many people home with you as you can. That's your privilege. Listen, you're here, and you can't speak with tongues. You know, I just got to make sure. You know, 50 years, I saved around 20. And I'm more excited today than I was then, in the years that followed, over this supernatural language He's given us. I don't think, I mean, the church treats it so idle, it's pathetic. And that's the devil's doing. Don't you know? There's no stopping you. When you understand the mysteries of who Christ is in you, the hope of glory, there's no stopping you. Can you imagine the victory dance the devil did when he took the tongues totally from the dark ages? Almost maybe cells were hid out here and there. They kill you. There was a time when Christianity went in. If you served a heathen god, they'd send you home right then. Or convert. Of course it wasn't right. Just who's your teacher? Anyway, I can't speak with tongues, Brother Roberson. Well, you're here and you say, I want to. Then come up here. Why don't you come up here and get filled with the Holy Ghost and begin your edification process from the Holy Spirit. Come on. Come on. Come. How many believes there'll be a day when He'll drop on 1,000 at a time to be filled? Yes. You know what? We're getting unwrapped. We're not going to stay wrapped up. We're getting unwrapped. We're not going to live under a tree, under a decoration. Hallelujah, Jesus. Morakalasho karetuma. Shatu Hadalena Vranko Babereto Escreso Doskeleto Messi Mohoka Bari Instop. This did the apostles understand as they walked in the first fruits and walked in the messages that I gave them. And then the time of recording the letters they wrote and these messages, and then the correction letters to the churches and things. Rest assured, they did bring His love along with them. It's a strong manifestation of His love and in those days, because many of the places they penetrated. You should read the 12 apostles and where they went and how they died. One of them was filleted alive in the town square. think he died blessing them and worshiping God. Well, the kind of miracles we want to see and keep spreading and spreading like Tulsa on fire and a spark hit the next city and it's on fire and it hit the next one, it's on fire. To continue to spread, then it'll have to have these two parts. The absolute power, the operation of the gifts, your born again spirit, the giftings you received, and then a journey into the fullness of God's love. No substitutes. It'll kill everything you're not supposed to have, including greed and the ability to use people. That's what our revival will be made out of. Boy, when he listed what love was, my God, what it did to self-exaltation and greed. If it's there, you're lacking.
Well, I thought revival was easy.
So did I. To tell you the truth, at this point I wouldn't trade as much as I've been doused in the love of God for any part of my whole life. Just that much.